Well, good morning, everyone. It's a happy day, beautiful, beautiful day to be here. I was thinking about three things I think that our readings suggest to us to reflect upon today. What we have, what we lack, and what we want. It's all about desire. What we have, what we lack, and what we want. First thing, what we have. Our first reading starts with the Israelites complaining. And remember that they had prayed and prayed and prayed for freedom. For generations, they prayed with every day with all their hearts that they would be freed. And God gives them that. And then their prayer having been answered, they are on their way to the promised land. And what do we find them doing but complaining and bickering among themselves? And I was thinking about how often I close my eyes. Maybe you ought to do the same thing. Close your eyes and reflect, how many times did you complain in the last week? About a person, about a circumstance. How many times, maybe even in your heart, maybe you didn't even say it to somebody, but how many times did you complain in the last week? I was thinking about 2 or 3 months ago, I can't remember, it was a daily mass, it was a 5 o'clock mass, and so Karen Martin was the lecturer, and Benji, her husband Leroy, was serving, and so we finished the opening prayer, and we all sit down, and I say to Leroy, as Karen is getting ready to read and starts reading, I say, Benji, it's hot in here. And the first words out of the reading that day, it was from Philippians 2:16, I think, do not complain. And as she was reading that, I was complaining about the heat. But I was thinking, man, I complain an awful lot. Maybe a lot of times it's just kind of here in my heart. And this became very real to me last week. I was on Facebook and there was this picture. It's a picture of a little boy in Africa, skin and bones. And he was drinking a bottle and it looked like he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for a very long time. A tiny little boy. And the text at the bottom of it said, your life is not that hard. And a lot of times, you know, we think that our life is harder than it is. And a lot of times we complain about how hard we have it. And we forget how well we have it. The Israelites were so bent on complaining that they had forgotten to enjoy the freedom that they had just received. And isn't that the human story? Just like them, I think a lot of times when we get what we want, then we want something else. I know a kid, and I thought he was too young to get a cell phone, but his parents gave him a cell phone. And before too long, he wanted a new cell phone. He wanted a better cell phone. And I think that's a lot. It's this endless cycle that there's never enough. And what we have is never seems to be enough. But I think it's time that we just kind of take a moment to thank God for all that we do have. Because our life isn't that bad. And sometimes we can just focus so much on the little problems and the little things, and we forget to be grateful. And gratitude is a very, very helpful thing in the spiritual life, in the life overall. What we have. What we don't have. What we lack. The second thing I was thinking about. I was thinking about that because the scripture says that the people grumbled. And as I was praying about the homily, it was Friday, yesterday, 2 days ago, and there was my dog. She went 36 hours without eating, and her tummy was making all kinds of sounds, you know, and it was kind of grumbling. And I thought, first of all, why is she not eating 36 hours? That's so unlike her. Normally, like, as soon as I even walk to the pantry, like, she is there. She's ready to eat whatever. And then I realized, oh yeah, she's a Catholic dog. She's fasting. And her tummy was grumbling. I thought about that must have been what, in some ways, what was happening with our Israelite ancestors. That God saw their emptiness. Our stomachs grumble when they're empty, when they're upset, but mostly when they're empty. And I was thinking that that's what happened with those Israelites. God saw their emptiness, and he said, I will fill it. And so what does God do on their journey to the promised land? He gives them bread. He gives them water from the rock. You remember how Moses strikes the rock and out comes all the water, which, by the way, is a symbol of the church, which God, Jesus, calls the rock, out of which flow the waters of salvation. And so he gives them quail. God gives them everything along the way. Because why? He saw their emptiness and he responded. And that's the truth with us, too. I think maybe everybody has at least a part of his or her life where there is a bit of emptiness. A lot of people have emptiness maybe in their jobs, or maybe they have emptiness in their marriage or some relationship that they have. Sometimes people have emptiness in their life with God, in their prayer life. But God sees this emptiness, and he gives us the right food to fill it, which is a good thing, because if we left to our own devices, we fill it with the wrong things, which is what St. Paul talks about in our second reading, the deceitful desires that he had had in his life, where he tried to fill all the emptiness with bad things. We see it all over town in Shelby County, drugs left and right, people trying to fill their void with that. Sometimes people try to fill the void with nightly doses of alcohol. Sometimes people try to fill their void with addictions to the internet or to gaming. Sometimes people fill their void with pornography. Sometimes people fill their void with shopping and money, materialism. None of that works. None of that works. And God sees this emptiness, the grumbling of our souls. He hears that. And he gives us the right food to fill it. What is the right food? The sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. One drop of precious blood is enough to satisfy every dream of the human heart. Like, he gives us the right food of the sacraments, the right food of church, the right food of scripture, the right food of family and friends. Like, God gives us the right food that will fill the void, the emptiness, because in his kindness, in his mercy, he sees that emptiness and he wants to respond. Our job is just not to fill that, try to fill that with things of the world. It won't work anyway. The third thing is what we want. So what we have, what we lack, what we want. And all of us want the Lord. G.K. Chesterton said that even the man in the brothel is looking for love, and Jesus is love. And all of us were built that way, and we're built for the Lord, and that is what we ultimately want. Our gospel today tells of how all of these crowds went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And maybe they didn't even know why they were doing that. You know, have you ever been so hungry that your stomach is growling, your stomach is kind of grumbling, and you don't even know what you're hungry for, but you know you're hungry. And I think that's probably what is the case with them and what's the case with us a lot of times. And our spirits, our souls, our lives, we need Jesus and we want him, even if we don't recognize it all of the time. But the answer to all of our prayers, if the answer to our prayers is Jesus, then our prayer is answered every time. If our prayer is, Lord, give me a better job, or Lord, give me more money, whatever, maybe it'll be answered, maybe it won't. If it brings us closer to the Lord, it will. But if our prayer is always for Jesus, then the prayer will always be answered. And that Jesus is our ultimate want, our ultimate need, our ultimate desire. And the Eucharist, it has got to be the center of our life. The Eucharist has got to be the center of our life, because the Eucharist is Jesus. Not a symbol, not a reminder. It is Jesus. And if the Eucharist that we celebrate every single Sunday especially, but every day, is the center of our life, I think if Catholics got that, if we got that a little bit better, then we would never dream of even ever missing a Mass on Sunday. Doesn't matter who the priest is, doesn't matter if the church is pretty like ours or the church looks like a barn, you know, or it doesn't matter if the music is great or the music isn't great. It doesn't, whatever. What matters is that we get Jesus there, and Jesus is the center of our life. He is our ultimate want, our ultimate need. And never would a Catholic ever leave the church if we got that. John Vianney, his relic, his feast day was yesterday. His relic is right here. And that man knew that the Eucharist is the center of everything. And it was the center of his life. And I think we need to pray every day for the grace to love the Eucharist more. Because the Eucharist is Jesus. Sometimes people say, well, what do I pray before I go to Mass? You know, we get here early, we kneel, we pray. I think these three things are good to pray about. What we have. Before Mass, we pray, thank you, Lord, for my blessings, for my family, for my health, for all of these blessings that I have. Thank you for the fact that I can come to church. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What we lack. Before Mass, we say, Jesus, I have this emptiness in my life, here or there or wherever. And Jesus, I pray that you fill it. I pray that you come to that place in my life where I need you the most and save me, because you are the Savior. And then to say, Jesus, help me to want you more. Help me to realize that beneath every desire that I have, it is really a desire for you. And I come to this Mass, Jesus, and I pray that you will fill my soul, fill my life with all the blessings that I need and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.